Well, a very good evening to you and welcome to Extra Time on 92.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Honor Kosi. Well, let me be the first to say at this time that as it stands, I am a very righteous man. As the amount of rain that fell in the city of Port Harcourt today is enough to have washed away my sins. So I have a feeling, yes, indeed, I have been washed clean, but if only it was as easy as that. Welcome once again. How are you? I hope you're doing okay. It's that time of the evening where we talk all things sports on your favorite dial. And tonight I've got for company the sports guru herself. And ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for the one and only sports diva of Nigeria Info and beyond, Dr. Skoki. Nice to have you on Extra Time.
Good evening to you, Kosi. Good evening to our listeners. It's good to be here. It's been a very wet Thursday and very cold. So you have to dress appropriately. Make sure that you don't let the cold get into your body. Of course. So it's good to be here to talk sports anyway. So welcome.
Yeah, Sandy. I always paint a picture for the listener. Yeah, looking great in grey. Did I get the colour right today?
This is navy blue.
That's what they call it. Grey, not navy. blue. So that's a blue jean and a navy blue sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. What you're tying on your hair, what's it called?
We just say it's scarf.
Scarf. Mm-hmm. Nice. You're looking great, as always. So, today there is really so much to talk about. I mean, so much to talk about. So, let's have a glance at the menu. Well, have you ever wondered why people say, red card for first half? Ref, don't spoil the game. You're not supposed to give red card for final. He don't spoil the game. Well, today we will be investigating. We'll be asking if the referee has a responsibility to keep a spectacle spectacular, or if his job is simply to apply the rules irrespective of circumstance. Also, the transfer window is closed. What is the status of the big boys and the big buys? Ronaldo, Messi, Lukaku and the rest of them. Should they make the starting 11 of their respective teams based on performance? Or is reputation enough elsewhere? Fini the judge to Enyimba is the latest speculation in Aba. Plus the Paralympic Games and the US Open, plus Time Tunnel, the segment where we relieve sporting moments from yesteryears for nostalgia reasons and also for critical assessment. So let's begin, shall we? Sports Diva, your seatbelt is on, is it? As we're about to drive on Extra Time. Seatbelts? Fasting up?
Set, go.
Set, go. All right, so let's begin. Yeah, it's a little bit unconventional, but let's kick off our conversation here.
Guedes trying to find a way past McLean, and he has Ronaldo's header, and he has done it. He just had to. The man who has an addiction to headline making has now become the global goal scoring supremo. His 110th. International goal, more than any other man. By Hendrick. And Ronaldo's there again. Would you believe it? That is why he is a legend. He refused to be downcast after the penalty miss. He strikes once to get the international scoring record outright, but that is not enough for him. He has to do things with panache, and he comes up with an injury time winner.
So the man we just listened to, Sports Diva, keeps on screaming the name of some player, Cristiano. What's his last name again? Could you remind me, please?
Hey, don't let them come for you.
Please, because
you're supposed to know it is a Cristiano Ronaldo.
He must, for him to be, he has to be a decent player. I mean, for him to be,
he's not a decent player. Fabulous player. He's amazing.
Amazing.
He's a goal poacher. You heard him. You heard how this man who was screaming, come on, you don't get to see these every day. So of course it means the world
to must
Cristiano.
Be a decent player to
it's not a
make
decent,
a commentator
it's not a
go
decent
crazy
player.
He has to know how to kick this ball.
He's not a decent player.
Okay, well,
he's fantabulous.
adjectives. Well, that's the man, Cristiano Ronaldo. What more can we say? I mean, yesterday I was seeing the game, and Portugal were a couple of minutes away from losing to Ireland. And come at the hour, come at the man. Manchester United's latest acquisition rose highest on two occasions. And in a flash, Portugal went from 1-0 down to 2-1 winners. And importantly, Ronaldo broke a record in the process. He is now all out on his own, really, as he now has the record for most goals scored in men's international football, hitting his 110th and 111th goals for Portugal in that dramatic 2-1 World Cup qualifying win over the Republic of Ireland, scoring two late headers. Well, the record was previously held by Ali Day, who scored 109 goals for Iran between 93 and 2006. Ronaldo equaled that record at Euro 2020 against France, and he's now all out on his own. Yeah, in celebration, he took off his shirt, got himself a yellow card, which means he will miss Portugal's next game. Good news for Manchester United fans, as he's been sent away from the Portuguese camp. He has been released, meaning he will link up with his new club sooner than even expected. But that's an insight to what we might see in the Premier League, perhaps. It's his return.
Well, I asked this question to our listeners and our sister station when I went on the show this evening. And I asked, with this latest acquisition, which is the latest acquisition of goal scoring, do you get to see him? How many goals did they get to see him scoring with Manchester United in the English Premier League? And plenty of people were saying 40, some said 15, some said in all competition 20. So, see, yeah, I will say this again. I think that he would have scored more if he had gone to Manchester City. I think they have more creativity in the side, not Manchester United. He's going to score goals, but I'm not saying that... I'm not saying he's not going to score goals. I'm saying he's going to score goals, but I don't think it will get up to 30 goals. If he gets up to 30 goals, of course, I'll be so happy for him. Looking at the fact that he came back to Manchester United to continue where he left off in 2019 before when he left for Real Madrid. So I'm looking at him now. The penalty he missed in the first game, we're here in the studio, Ekpo and myself, we're here in the studio when he missed that penalty, and we're like, oh, okay, don't understand. We're still here when Republic of Ireland scored their goal, the first goal of the game. And we thought, okay, it's going to be a very tough job for Portugal to come back into this game. And in the second half, in 80 minutes or thereabouts, was when Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, got the first goal for himself and got the second one almost at the dead of the game. And it's a different story altogether. This man is a goal poacher. I'd like to see him score plenty of goals, but three of goals for Manchester United. But can he, is the question. Can he get 40? Can he get 30? I'd like to see that, but I do think that maybe 15, 20 is good for me.
Well, as you would expect, ladies would want Ronaldo to always score. There is the added advantage of having him take off his shirt, possibly for their viewing pleasure. Things like that. We don't usually talk football at the very start, but Ronaldo is big enough to force us to make exceptions. But we have to go back to tradition after celebrating the Portuguese, who is out on his own at this time as the highest ever goal scorer with 111 goals and counting in men's international football, where majority of our conversations this evening will be coming from. Fasten your seatbelts as we go for the ride.
Once again, we are at it together. We are absolutely everywhere and we love it. Nothing is for sure in this game. Rivalries are re-stoked. Momentum is gathering. This is what makes us tick. This is what makes our heart beat. Staggering! Just staggering! Week on week and month on month.
This is the stuff of clouds!
Friendship becomes second to the colour of a shirt. There is no certainty. There is always jeopardy. It is always on the edge. It is always football time. And that's kind of it.
yesterday on the segment called Our Own right here on Extra Time, Egbo Nya and Dorcas Koki spoke to media officer of Enyimba International Football Club of Aba, Zazi Bariza. And he said a couple of things. He told us that as of Tuesday, the 31st of August 2021, Fatah Esho's contract had expired and Enyimba were open to renegotiating a deal with the coach. But of course, he did say that if they are unable to agree, they would shake hands and then Enyimba would look elsewhere for another handler. So, this afternoon we're getting word, nothing is confirmed yet, this is just still within the realms of speculation, that Finidi George, 50 years of age, former Calabar Rovers, Nwayanwu National, Sharks, Ajax, Real Betis, Mallorca, Ipswich Town, and again Mallorca winger, is in the running. In fact, the reports we have, they sound setting that his appointment as coach at Enyimba is imminent. That's what they say. I mean, he has his coaching badges, UEFA license, or whatnot, and has been very critical of Gernot Rohr and his technical team and all. But if this happens, I mean, it has to be a plus for the MPFL, and it will be time for him to do the to walk the talk. So you think?
Well, there are a lot of things I've heard to the start of the new season that we can just say. Mm-hmm. Well, my ears are really full at this time, but it is kind of promising what I heard. So you're looking at the fact that things are changing or about to change. And let's remember what Zazi said. He said, until Enyimba comes out officially announced, then everything is strictly rumor, like we stated here. Mm-hmm. So it is still a rumor. We're not quite certain or sure if he is going to be given the job as Enyimba. So the point is this. Remember, we also brought you a report on Monday, that Monday or Tuesday, that Emmanuel Amuneke might be the coach of Canopilas. That's also still a might, because about six of them were asked yesterday to come for interview at Canopilas. So whoever passes the test or whichever interview that will be given, they will now stand as coach. Usman Abdullah is in the conversation, a couple of others with Emmanuel Amuneke. So if, let's say, maybe Amuneke is appointed as the new Canopilas coach, and in some quarters in Aba, Finidi George becomes the coach of course, Enyimba, and still having Mama Mapakabo with Abia Warriors. Well, then the league looks, star studded. It looks like.
Kanumanko will return to happen.
Probably. We'll love to see our ex-internationals come back to coach, to coaching some of our teams there. But I think it is good enough that Finidi George has been so outspoken when it comes to our football, not just Super Eagles, but as well local. Mm-hmm. He's been so vocal about it. So if he comes out here, see, now it's time to talk, to walk the talk.
Yeah.
You've been criticizing a whole lot. I remember it's time for you to be criticized.
Wait, what are we here for? It's our job description, journalists. Criticize everything. But speaking seriously, it would be nice to see the stuff that Finidi George is made of as a coach. His pedigree as a player is not in doubt. He left it all on the pitch, clear for everyone to see. Can't be erased. But as he begins his journey into coaching, albeit with Enyimba in the MPFL and of course the African continent, we will be judging him. We will be watching every step of the way. We're not. Okay, I'll just keep short. The more you say, the more you risk saying something stupid. So just keep monitoring the situation over at Aba. Yes, Imama Amapakabo was on Extra Time last Friday. He says, I signed a 2-year contract to Abia Warriors. I'm staying put unless something remarkable changes. Ruling himself reasonably out of the race cross carpets to Enyimba from Abia Warriors. Now, amongst the other names being mentioned here and there, Finidi George looks as though he will be heading to Enyimba. Very interesting. We will see if that in fact develops into fruition. But now let's get ready to have our very first conversation. We'll be right back. That's the DJ of the sports gang, Dr. Cookie Supplying. Yes, so yes, the tempo is high. And so will the conversation be as we start. Dr. Skoki, have you ever, in all your years watching football, said things like, it's just the first half. Why would you give a red card?
Yes, I have.
You have?
I have. I will not lie.
Match just is that you don't give you don't
ref don't spoil this match. Ref don't spoil this match. I tell you.
What's the reasoning behind such assertions?
The idea of fans to say this, it's a very big game, okay, and in a very big tournament as well. Let's say probably the World Cup or the final of the UEFA Champions League, or even the semi-final, or maybe two big rivals in a league are meeting, and they have a quality of player. The star-studded 22 players on the field of play, and you're expecting to see the quality of these players, and then the referee just in the first second. Give someone a red card or blows a penalty or something. The fans will be like, we haven't even seen nothing yet, and you're giving a red card. We're not going to see too much. Remember the Chelsea Liverpool game just at the weekend? People said something close to that. We wanted to see the quality. We want to see how these two sides will match. We wanted to see how Van Dijk and Lukaku, take on each other. We want to see the quality. These people spent money this season. We want to see that. And the referee just came and, referee don't cheat us. People say this. And yes, it's your own opinion. It's your own thought. They want to see the star sides meet each other and show us the quality that they have. They want to see the high tempo of the game. And if it's just 11 against a 10-man team, they would say, we're not going to get to see the quality of the game anymore. So looking at that, it's a very dicey situation for the referee as well. Some referees have bought into that idea sometimes, but fans, you know us as fans, would always try to give our thoughts or our reasons why that should not happen, why that wasn't a penalty, why this should have been given as a penalty. As fans, that's what we do, right? And that's what we do best.
Okay, so staying with you, Sports Diva, what's a referee's job description? To apply the rules of the game.
Definitely.
Any time in the game.
Yes.
So, does he have the responsibility, the referee, mm-hmm, to keep a spectacle spectacular? I mean, if his job description, if what is required of him is to stamp his authority on the game, apply the rules, is there a caveat that says, don't apply the rules in the first minute? No. This is a big game. Don't apply the rules because you ruin the spectacle. It's a first tackle in the first minute. I just blew my whistle and Granit Xhaka is lunging in two-footed. Mario Balotelli is elbowing someone. Don't blow the whistle. No, the game is just starting. Don't spoil it. What's the referee's job description? And where does it stand when juxtaposed with the fans' expectations that he should... keep his whistle away from his mouth and let the game remain a competition.
The referee's job is to issue a punishment to those players who did something wrong. When you do something wrong, the consequence will be given to you by the referee. It's either a red card or a yellow card or a penalty or something close to that as well. We've gotten to see that. There is a referee's job, no matter what time it is, no matter if it's just the kickoff of the game, no matter if it's just 1 second into the game, the referee should take action, should make a decision. If it's a red card, if it's a penalty, if it's sending off, if it's a yellow card, that's the referee's job. But like I said,
okay,
some referees have bought into the idea of this is a big game.
How about you?
That's why we're saying fans.
Okay.
As fans,
yeah,
we want to see the quality.
So
if as a fan, the referee just gives a red card in the first second or in the first minute, you're like so angry and mad at him.
So you're like,
why would you
do
this?
I'm speaking as a fan here.
Yeah, let me use myself as the example.
Okay.
If I were a fan of maybe a Real Madrid side taking in the Barcelona side in the La Liga or in the final of the Champions League game, and let's say I am fanning Barcelona at that time, the referee, something just happened. Pique just launches a really bad tackle on Casemiro, and the referee just shows him a red card in the first minute of the game. As a fan, I'll be so angry with him. Why would you do that? You're not supposed to give a now this game has spoiled. This referee has he has cheated also in the first minute. This referee has already spoiled this game. Now Real Madrid will not have a chance to go and score. Now who is going to take Pique's angle? Who is going to help us block that area to avoid all the threats coming from Real Madrid attack? As a fan, it's your responsibility to say that. But as the referee, you're supposed to stand your ground. You're supposed to dish out that punishment at any time. So, whether it's 90 minutes, whether it's the first minute, whether it's halftime, 45 plus 1 minute, give what you're supposed to give. It's your decision to make, and you have to make the right one when you can.
So, when are you running for the president of SWAN? Because you're sounding quite political. You're not giving me the answer that I want. I'll put it to you once again as we're about to open the channels for interaction with our listener. Yes or no? Okay, that might not be fair.
It's not fair, obviously.
Okay. Does the referee have a responsibility to keep the spectacle going? I mean, is he supposed to look at the time of the incident, the strength of the two sides, and ruining what would be an interesting game before applying the rules of the game?
When we say ruin, it's not nice to the referee. The referee's job is to blow his whistle when there is a need for it. So it's not the referee's job to keep the spectacle going.
Okay.
The referee is there to do his job, and his job is blow that whistle that's in your mouth. Yes, okay. Blow it whenever, wherever. Yes,
whenever.
Yes.
Docas Nolly. All right, rhyme to that. All right, so we've done our bit, spoken a lot. You are the judge of this matter. Let's head to your court, there, listener, to see how you adjudicate. What's the referee's responsibility? To apply the rules of the game? Does he have the responsibility to feel the pulse of the game as well and be a little bit hesitant in the application of the rules so that it's not weakening a side too early or spoiling what the whole world wants to enjoy and all of that? Tell us what you think. 0817 923 0002, 0817 923 0003, 0817 923 0007, 0817 923 0009. WhatsApp, leave us a message on 0809 030 6416. Where do we start? Let's start here. Welcome. Okay, wrong choice, obviously, from me, but do well to get on that keypad and dial us once again. Let's hear from you. Nice to have you join us. You're on to Extra Time.
Yeah, good evening,
Egbo. It's Onakosi and Dokas Koki, but Egbo hears you as well.
Sorry.
Welcome.
I greet you too. Good evening.
Yes. Yeah, talking about the responsibility of the referee. He really has that responsibility of making sure that the players in the football field abide by the rules and regulations of the game.
Okay.
So he doesn't have to compromise whether it's a big game, whether it's not a big game. And most of the times, you know, when once some referees does that in order maybe to compromise, they face the penalty. That is to tell you that they must have to do their job. It doesn't matter the time.
Okay.
Whether it's the first second of the game, 90 minutes, or the first half clock, it doesn't matter when.
So you've never ever in your life as a football fan felt that a decision was taken at too quick a time? I mean, the game is just starting and
I get your question.
Yeah.
It actually happened on Sunday between Liverpool and Chelsea.
Right.
I'm a Chelsea fan.
Okay.
Anyway.
I can imagine.
That time at, what is this referee's name again? Anthony Taylor.
Yeah.
I was so annoyed.
Okay.
I, as a fan, ordinarily was looking at it that ball did not go directly to James' hand.
Okay.
It hit his lap before the hand.
All right.
So I was like looking at it like ball to hand, except on the time that he went to the VAR screen.
All right.
But I saw it that James had emotion.
Yeah, but you know, sir, that we can go on and on.
And he had to break out his hand.
Yeah, but the validity of his decision is not what we're questioning. It's the timing. Should he have kept Chelsea 11 against Liverpool so that the game will be sweeter? Or something like that.
No, if he does that, he has compromised the rules of football.
No compromise. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you very much. I had a soldier when I was a youth copper in camp, and his name was No Compromise. Welcome. Okay. Nice to have you join us. Okay. Full lines are quitting on us too early. Dr. Skoki, we've not even started. It's misbehaving. All right. No, we can't. We can't risk it. We have to go for a quick break. But keep those thoughts together. We'll take as much as we can because we really need you to solve this matter for us. But all of the conversation will continue after this timeout. Please stay tuned. Well, the man at the center is a focus at this time on Extra Time. Yes. Oftentimes, it's one of those jobs that you do when you do well when you're not noticed. But when you become the center of attraction after the game, during the game, it means maybe you've made a controversial decision. So this evening we're asking, what's the referee's job description really? Is it to apply the rules of the game, irrespective of time and place or personnel? I mean, a lot of times fans say, why did you give a red card in the first minute? Why did you send off a player? You've ruined the game. This game would have been sweeter if it was 11 against 11. Match just a start. In first tackle, you don't give a red card. You're not supposed to do that. So we're asking, what's the referee's job really? Does he have that responsibility to keep a spectacular? Or is his job simply to apply the rules whenever the need arises, whether in the first minute, middle of the game, or 90 minutes? Well, Sports TV said a bit. I have said mine. Let's keep hearing from you. Welcome. Welcome.
Yeah. My name is Nonto.
Welcome, Nonto. Welcome, Nonto.
Yeah. About the decision of the referee in the field, he is the one to decide. After all, he's given the green light to officiate. I mean, every decision in the field is final.
Okay.
So I think he's the final, he has the final say in the field.
What do you have? Because, yeah, he has the final say, we know that. But referees' decisions are critiqued. How do you judge his decision? I mean, when he issues a red card in the first minute of the game or reduces a team to 10 or even 9 men, how do you, at a certain point, do you feel he has a responsibility to feel the pulse of the game and be a bit circumspect in dishing out the rule, in application of the rules?
Yes, I've officiated the match.
Okay.
The player was playing. The ball was crossed into the 18.
Yeah.
The defender purposely used his hand to bring down the ball in the penalty area.
Okay.
I gave him the red card and gave the penalty.
Okay.
So, the referee's decision is final. Thank you.
All right, thank you. No doubt, referee's decision is final. But we have a thing or two to say about when he chooses to apply the rules of the game. Welcome. Hello. Okay, simply move to the next. Good evening, you're welcome. Something is certainly wrong with the phone lines, but you keep trying. I'm sure you'll get through eventually. Nice to have you join us.
Hello.
Good evening to you.
My name is Dr. from Ileife.
Welcome. Well, all the way from Ileife. Welcome.
Please, you are not giving the promise, you know.
Oh, okay. What promise, please?
During the time of Euros, you said, from time to time, you'll be playing the Euros song for Sinadi Sinana. I've been observing one day.
On Sunday, he did, now.
Yeah, we did.
No.
Okay.
On Sunday we did.
All right. I promise you, we'll sign out with it today. Just listen. Just keep listening. All right.
Just a closing remark.
Okay. We'll sign out with it. Oh, all the way from Ileife to hear Bono and Martin Garrix. Welcome. Nice to have you join us.
Yeah, Mark G from Port Harcourt.
Welcome, Mark G.
Yeah, having been someone that doesn't rely on my emotion, someone that believes in the spirit of fair play, in the spirit of sportsmanship.
Okay.
I will say that even if it's the first second, the rule should be applied. Even if it's the 95th minute, the rule should be applied. But I will say that rather, I will speak against my team. I will pray in my inner mind that the referee should not deem that foul to be awarded like a red card. But
oh, Machi, you're going to have to try to get back to what sounds to me like what he's saying, Dr. Skoki. Yeah, the rules should be applied. I'm okay if the rules are applied. But at the same time, he says, as a fan, I'm praying the referee forgets to apply the rules at the time. I mean, isn't that what Machi says?
Yeah, that's the job of a fan. I said that before. The job of the fan is to always try to go against every... Yes, okay. Always... wanting his team to win, and whenever a referee does something, say, ah, that's not the right call, you know, something like that.
It's not the right call. Yeah. Welcome to the conversation.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Good evening.
One game.
Football
without violence.
Yeah, my name is Miracle. I'm calling from Nigeria.
Welcome, Miracle.
So about the Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, as you mean. The rule should be applied at every time of the game, from the 4th minute to the 90th minute.
Okay.
But if I'm a ref, as a trained ref, what I should do is there are some times in a game, and depends on the people that are playing. According to the coaches, that you see, if both teams start for the teams as being, you understand? So there is a way you do it.
Miracle, it seems to me like you're taking two positions at the
exactly.
same time.
Yeah.
All right, Miracle. Oh dear, we can't take it. But there are certain reasons. I mean, you're officiating in Kano with a packed stadium. You really have to know when to apply the rules, don't you? Kano pillars, something of that nature.
Different question for a different day.
Welcome to the conversation. Hello.
Sorry for the but
okay, welcome back.
Let me continue. Okay. I was trying to say that for the referee to apply the rule, I'm very much okay with it. I'm very much happy with it. But the thing is that I'm in the first place, I'm just in my inner mind, I will be praying. I'm not saying it's clean. I'm not worried about the time now. I'm actually wanting shooting bed. I'm in my mind. Making no difference with red card or because he must give up. You understand my point? I'm like, it shouldn't be to be a card, as in maybe a red card or a violent play and so on. But when it comes to the place of applying that rule, I'm very much in support of it. Let me continue to say that, you know, if you refuse to apply the rule, you are actually cheating the other team. Because that counts a lot. Okay, what if my player leaps out of the pitch by your violent conduct? Then I got to miss a very important part of the player of that tournament.
Okay.
So that is a disservice to me.
Okay.
So even if it's the first second, I think you should apply the rules. Thank you very much.
All right, Magji, thank you very much. Magji says apply the rules whenever the need arises, irrespective of if it's in the first minute, 10th minute, 15th minute, 20th minute, 90th minute. It doesn't matter the circumstance. The rules must always be applied in the game. But, I'm still asking. I'm still asking you listening. I'm sure you've been a spectator, an observer of a football game, and upon a referee's decision, it's now you don't give red card, now penalty. I mean, if you were a referee and you're saddled with the responsibility of officiating a World Cup final and two giants of the game are at it, and in the very first minute somebody lunges in with a harsh tackle that's normally would be deserving of a red card, do you think he would brandish the red card immediately, or will you weigh the magnitude of the occasion and say, wait a minute, if I issue this red card, I've ruined a World Cup final, therefore let me keep it? What do you think? Let's continue to explore your thoughts. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome. Good evening to you.
Hello.
Hello, we can hear you loud and clear. Welcome.
Okay. Good evening, Anakosia, and good evening, the Sport Diva.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Yeah, I want to start by doffing my hat to JD on the line, by the way.
JD, you're welcome.
I want to doff my hat to Cristiano Ronaldo.
Ah, yeah, of course.
I want to doff my hat to our Paralympians.
Okay.
Yeah, they did very well. And I'm a bit comfortable with the language that Anakosia used, with all due respect. Our athletes are actually physically challenged. But to use the word disabled several times, I know you don't mean any disrespect.
Oh, actually, I don't.
It's a bit colloquial.
I don't. But my apologies if you find that offensive.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. Thanks for understanding.
Fine.
But I know you're just doing your job.
Fine. Okay.
For me, there's something called judgment call.
Okay.
In refereeing, judgment call. I believe you must have heard it several times. And you've heard the word tough penalty. In cases like that, the referee can use his discretion to make a call.
Mm-hmm.
So, in situations that you're trying to pin, maybe beginning of the game, towards the end of the game, a final match, if that move is not an outright infringement, I think the referee should use his discretion to make a judgment call. But if it is an outright infringement, by all means, please apply the rule. But if it's something you can make a judgment call on because it's not a clear violation, I think the judgment call should apply considering the time and the occasion.
Okay.
Thank you, JD.
JD, thank you. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. JD, welcome. We're about to wrap this up to move to something else. Nice to have you join us.
I bring you one greetings from this side.
Greetings. Greetings, Cristiano from Arazi.
Exactly.
Yes.
That apology was also meant for me because, like what JD said, I was not comfortable with that. But it's okay. Let's not dwell on that.
Okay.
I've watched a Champions League final where a penalty was awarded in the second minute, a Champions League final.
Hmm.
That's against Liverpool and Tottenham.
Okay.
Very unfortunate. I've also watched a semi-finals match where a penalty was also awarded in the 91st minute.
Hmm.
That's against England and Denmark. Very heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Kosi, let me tell you something. There is nothing like, Kosi, do you know that 97% of the incidents you see in football is pressure? Because
okay.
I've never seen any match where a defender intentionally going to his own space and use her to pick the ball.
Hmm.
You see that the other team wants pressure, he hit his hand, or he intentionally did what his game do to use his hand to prevent the ball from going inside the net. That means it's pressure.
Okay.
And the only thing that can give you pressure is that it's effort from the opposing team. Am I correct?
Okay,
yeah.
Just go ahead, yeah.
Yes, what gives you pressure? What makes you make mistakes is pressure. And it takes the strength and willpower of your opposite team to give you pressure. So for me, I think whether in the 1 minute,
of course,
the cannot be given inside the tunnel.
Of course, we know that, but let's see. What's your expectation in a situation where a referee is officiating a game of a huge magnitude and there's an infringement very early on in the game?
World Cup final, let's say, the biggest of countries.
Very, very crucial in nature.
Yeah.
And I mean, what would be your expectation? I mean, if you were a referee, you've been putting you at the center now, and you're officiating a World Cup final. As soon as you blow the whistle for kickoff, someone launches in with a two-footed tackle, and the entire world is watching. It's a huge game. Do you issue a red card? Would you do that immediately?
Because you remember that the entire world too, if that game is against Nigeria and Ghana, and a Nigerian, and who is best known for this kind of tackle? The last time, Didi, launched a tackle on Jordan and you.
Okay.
Remember that Ghanaians are also among the entire world that is watching.
I'm fully aware. So, lastly, before we let you go, Obinna, Where do you think a referee's job begins and ends? Is his job just about opening the rule book and applying it, or is he expected to feel the pulse of the game?
He shouldn't feel the pulse of the game because the rule book is meant for the bad things.
Okay.
If I get a penalty and you want to follow the rule book, you need to follow the rule book because if you divert from the rule book, you put in a very big advantage.
Okay. Right. Right. Thank you.
It is basically a hosting of boy, okay. And ball inside his 18-yard box in the game against Manchester United last season. Right. And the referee used this discussion rather than the real book. And it's a hot meeting today.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Don't let me cry, please.
not intended. One more call, then we have another conversation. Nice to have you join us. We can barely hear you. Oh, smart. I'll give you the chance to adjust your device so that we'll see if we can hear you better. We can't hear you. I'm sure the listener can hear you as well.
Okay, can you hear me now?
No, smart. Do well to get back. Get back to us. Let's substitute smart for another caller. Welcome.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening to you. Nice to have you join us.
My name is Europe. I'm calling from you.
Welcome, Europe.
I'm not against the. I'm not against any officiating of the ref.
Okay.
Either first minute two or the last diamond.
Okay.
I sense a bot.
Okay. I sense a bot too, but unfortunately, he wouldn't be able to tell us as something has gone wrong with his line. On WhatsApp, this one says one game. Coast City fans will air their position on every decision made by the referee, but then he should be professional in the course of discharging his duty. How about considering the time and temper of the game and a player's life at risk as a result of a tackle? He should go by the rule of the game, regardless of fans' time and the nature of the game. So says Penetrust. All right. Good evening, Honor and Dockers and Wisdom, texting from LMA. I think the referee should apply the rules at any time of the game, and the player who is guilty should be blamed for ruining the game and not the referee. Oh, I see. Mm. Very interesting. Okay. Very interesting. And that's from Wisdom. That's a very wise text. Hello. Good evening, Nigeria Info. Sometimes the referees consider the status of the players involved in any tackle before their final judgment. Thanks to VAR. So says Justice. Sports Diva. Well, we're tempted to take more calls, but we have to shuffle a lot into the park, don't we? So we have to move on. Don't forget, at 8:30, it'll be time for Time Tunnel, where we will go back in time to relive a sporting moment from yesteryear's for the purposes of nostalgia and also for the purposes of inquiry, post-mortem, if you like. But now let's talk about something else before we get to Time Tunnel. Dr. Skoki, the transfer window has slammed shut, hasn't it? Lots of players elsewhere. I suppose the headline signing is Ronaldo moving to Manchester United. I don't know if you agree.
Well, that was one of the latest signings that happened. Messi, I think the two big moves in the transfer window involved Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. Mm. Nobody expected Messi to leave Barcelona when he did and how he left Barcelona to PSG. And the whole saga that happened with Cristiano Ronaldo, the whole conversation of fans burning their jersey, angry at him for even thinking of wanting to go over to their noisy neighbours, Manchester City, who are no longer noisy for that matter. So it was a little bit of unsettled situation in Europe when Messi was moving and Cristiano Ronaldo was about to move. So yeah, I think the biggest of them were those two men moving to different clubs entirely.
Oh well, Lukaku also arrived at Chelsea. Jack Grealish went to Manchester City. Antoine Griezmann is back in Madrid, and a whole lot of things.
About to give it a number 10 jersey. That's like so funny.
But the question is, what truly is it should be the status of these big names and big buys. Lukaku at Chelsea, Ronaldo at Man United, Messi at PSG, Grealish at Manchester City, Griezmann back at Atleti, and all of those things. I mean, Dr. Skoki, put yourself, we've moved from the referee. I asked you to be a ref before, now I'm asking you to be a manager. These big names have arrived. What's their status by your own reckoning? Should they get into the starting 11 based on performance? What do you say to Ronaldo? Do you line him up alongside the other forwards, for instance, at Man United and say, okay, Rashford, Greenwood, Martial, Cavani, you all are my forward options. I'm going to select my starter based on performance, what you do in training, what you do with the minutes you're giving on the pitch. Or do you say, oh, reputation, Ronaldo, straight into my lineup. Lukaku, straight into my lineup. Messi, straight into my lineup. Grealish, straight into my lineup. And for how long will that endure? I mean, what kind of coach are you? Are you the type that says, it's a level playing ground, performance, you get into my team? Or should their reputation precede them?
There are different kind of coaches and there are different kind
Which one
of...
Are you?
I'm not a coach. I'm just here to talk. So the thing is this. There are some coaches who play certain players due to how much they're worth.
Okay, money.
They spend on getting those players.
Okay.
And there are some coaches who play them due to their reputation. That's their name, the name involved. Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo. Yes, there are some coaches like that. And there are some coaches that are simply based on performance.
Hmm.
If you don't perform well in training, you're going straight to the bench.
Even if you're Lukaku.
Even if you're whoever. Even if you're Lionel Messi. Even if you're Hugo.
What about Messi, Ronaldo?
I said Lionel Messi. Even if you're Ronaldo. There are some coaches who will be so strict with how their performance level of the player should be at a certain time. He demands too much from them. And if you don't give him that particular level of performance, you go straight
We're
to the bench.
We're talking about 11 Ballon d'Ors here.
Whatever. So the point is this. He asked me to be the coach here. So I'm trying to try to put myself in the shoes of a particular coach. If I were a coach,
okay,
what would I do? I think sometimes it changes. There are sometimes, okay, let's look at Chelsea. Chelsea needed a goal poacher. They needed someone to get them goals. So they went all the way to bring back Lukaku, who did not fit at a certain time with the same club. They loaned him out several times and eventually sold him to Manchester United, who left to Inter Milan. And now he's back after helping Inter Milan win the league for after 11 years.
Right.
So he's back now to do what? Score goals for this team.
Yeah.
Because there's a Timo Werner and a Kai Havertz who can get the job done. So they brought him to get him the goals. So if he's not delivering the first 10 to 11 games and he's getting those chances, as a coach, it is my responsibility to try someone new,
else. As he is coming, do you say to Timo Werner and whoever
for yes, in Lukaku situation, yes.
Yeah. Do you say to Raheem Sterling at Man City, Jack Grealish is here for 100 million, so your place is in the bench? Or do you say to Sterling, Sterling, here is Jack Grealish, it's up to the both of you to decide who plays based on performance, even if it costs 100 million?
I will give you an example with Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba when he first came to Manchester United. Mm-hmm. We asked these questions. Who is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer going to bench and who is he going to start between these two? When he starts the two, who is going to sit behind? Who is going to help the defense and who is going to attack? Who is going to help the attackers? We asked that question. The first time Ole Gunnar Solskjaer played these two players, it didn't work for the first time. They didn't sync at all. And gradually, we got to see them. But Pogba will sometimes lay back a little bit, let Bruno Fernandes go forward. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. So now you brought, of course, a Jack Grealish and a Raheem Sterling conversation.
Yeah.
I think that's a very peculiar one. You talked about performance. What is the performance rate of these players in recent times? Before I got him, what was his performance? Jack Grealish was magnificent for England.
So was Sterling.
Same
Sterling
as Raheem Sterling
was
for England.
He kept Grealish on the bench.
And before now as well, there was a Raheem Sterling who was being benched by Pep Guardiola for the reason best known to him once he went to the Euros and performed really well, scored 3 goals for England at the just concluded Euros 2020. So if you look at that,
into the final, you have to
And if you look at this peculiar situation between these two players, who of course can any day, anytime give you something to look forward to, that's where it is a very tough decision.
So, is it a level playing ground with Grealish costing $100 million? Does he get the nod ahead of Sterling because of his price tag? Or do you say?
I think I would have to try them. I'll have to try them in separate games first.
So performance for you?
Performance for me, yes. For me.
Does this apply to Messi?
Yes. Ronaldo, yes.
To Ronaldo?
Yes. To Erling Haaland, yes.
Everyone?
Everyone. Every single person.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, let's approach you once again. You've been listening to the stellar analysis of Dorcas Cookie, the one and only sports diva. She's the only one we have, really, that goes by that name in this establishment. So let's hear from you. Tell us what you think. What kind of coach are you? Is it about name, reputation, or is it a level playing ground? Better performance, starting 11, or is, wait a minute, you cost $100 million, you're straight into my lineup, starting 11,
you,
or your name is Messi, straight into my lineup, your name is Ronaldo, it doesn't matter what Edinson Cavani does, you're straight to the bench. Tell us what you think. What would you do? What would be your operating philosophy if you were the coach? 0817 923 0002, 0817 923 0003, 0817 923 0007, 0817 923 0009, WhatsApp 0809 030 6416. Don't forget, in 6 minutes time we'll head down to the time tunnel. Nice to have you join us.
One game.
Football without violence. Kindly speak up a little bit more, please.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I think it's better.
All right. My name is Udo Ugoji.
Welcome, Udo Ugoji. Welcome.
Yeah. I'll base my selection based on performance, not on name, not on even the cost of the player. Because all I need is the result. Credence should be given to who deserves it.
Okay.
So, yes, that is my, policy.
Mm, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Udo Ugoji. Nice to have you join us. Welcome, extra time.
Hello.
Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you.
Welcome.
My name is Daniel.
Yeah, cool, sure.
For me, based on performance, but there are some players you don't need to ask for performance because you're sure 99% they are going to perform.
You're sitting on the bench, sir. Yeah, the same constitution applies to us in this country, doesn't it? Oh, maybe not.
That's supposed to be CR7. And Leo Messi.
Okay.
I don't think you have these two individuals you are asking for performance. They have played the football, the whole world have known them. In fact, they are one of the greatest. Okay. If you want to talk about performance, you have to look at Lukaku or even Grealish.
Okay.
These two individuals, for the fact that Lukaku won the Italian Serie A does not mean that he won striker in the world right now. I don't think so.
So, Daniel, can I ask you something?
Yes.
If Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, they are due to their reputation, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. I said, due to the reputation of this two athletes, these two players, you play them every day, and they cost you games repeatedly, what would you do?
I think she's saying if you give Ronaldo, Messi these chances and they don't turn up as their reputation suggests suggest they would, what do you
they
do
will,
then?
They will turn the chances. They will turn the chances. Ronaldo and Messi will not turn the chance I give to them. If you give them 10 chances, they will turn 9. See, right. That is sure. There is no skeptical about it.
Oh.
These people are more than footballers. Right. There are other people in the whole world who think about football.
Okay.
So you can maybe say try a lot by Lukaku and all those players. If they don't perform, drop them. Okay. Mr. Ronaldo, please. Thank you
very much, Danny, for sharing your thoughts. Welcome. Nice to have you join us. TikTok.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yeah, JD once again.
Welcome, JD. Please make it quick so that we can sample as multiple thoughts as possible.
Okay, for me, I think I'll go for professionalism and discipline.
Okay.
Yeah, because professionalism, discipline, and reputation, yeah. Except, they are not professional, I mean, their conduct,
Okay.
Then I can have a change of heart. But for people like Ronaldo, Messi, Lukaku, yeah. I'll make an exception to the rule.
Okay. Okay.
So they have made their name over time, so there's no need to look for performance.
Okay.
Except over time, they are not showing discipline and professionalism. Mm. I can change my mind.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. There you have it, Sports Diva. All men are equal. All animals are equal. Some animals are more equal than others. So says JD. Let's take this call as we prepare to hit the time tunnel. Welcome. Okay, so means we have to explore another one. Good evening to you. There's nobody home. Good evening. Welcome.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Nice to have you join us.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
My name is Rebecca, calling from Bife.
Mekus, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. So my listening to the what you are saying is that they should be given the player should be given a level ground for them to perform.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay then.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, it's time for us to hit the time tunnel. And time tunnel is a segment on Thursday is an extra time designed to relive a sporting event from years past. It's designed to, breed that feeling of nostalgia in you once more. But not only that, we'll also be doing a post-mortem, examining that sporting event of the past. What are we looking at today? Just hang in there. In a moment, we'll let the cat out of the bag. Stay tuned.
Penalty, I would say, is one of the disappointing things in my career. I felt like I let Africa down. I let my country down. I missed that penalty in the last moment, and Ghana would have been the first African country to qualify to the semi-final. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. It's been 10 years. It always goes through my mind. I wish I could have that penalty again, but life goes on. I think I've done a lot in football. I've got an amazing career. I need to be grateful. I need to be thankful for everything, so life goes on.
30 seconds to go. Cancel. Is there a push there? There was, and this is the chance for Ghana again. Dominic Adia got the free kick out of Fushile. Fushile was booked in the first half and he's gone over to remonstrate with the referee's assistant. They don't want to be losing a man now. How dramatic would this be if Ghana were to score and to snatch it? We've already had 120 minutes. Tavares looks grim. Grimly concerned that it could just slip away for Uruguay here at the very death of the match. Mensa will be one of those up for it. It's going to get the flick in. And Muslera. Oh, cleared on the line. And cleared on the line. It's taken. The referee's assistant is flagging. What a dramatic hit. There's a red card coming out as well. Well, there had to be drama right at the end here. And the red card is shown. What a finish to the match. The referee's assistant was the one there who saw that ball and right on the line, and it's a penalty kick for Ghana. There was the first header, the fist away, and then it's kept out by the leg of the defender first time, and then the handball on the line, and Suarez is sent off. You couldn't have a more dramatic finish to a World Cup match than this one. People remember Maradona's hand of God. Well, this was a hand of Suarez that kept the ball out. And this man, Asamoah Gyan, has the opportunity to send Ghana into the semi-finals of the World Cup. And he hits the bar! Unbelievable! To the miss.
Mm-hmm.
unbelievable. Dr. Skoki, where were you in 2010 for this quarterfinal game between Ghana and Uruguay?
I was at home. I was seeing this game with my family. We're all there, seated in the sitting room, watching. We're quite excited that Ghana were, you know, looking at qualifying for the semi-final. Uh-huh. And we're practically supporting the team. Go ahead. Ah, we're all behind you. Let's do this. Let's do that. And we saw that handball. Oh, my God. Into see jubilation. We're like, he hasn't taken the penalty just yet. But we're quite excited with the fact that a penalty was given. A red card was also given to Luis Suarez for that weekend handball against Ghana. So,
at the moment, qualifiers, hand of the devil.
Yes, it is, and it was. It was hand of the devil at that time because it stopped a goal that would have seen, of course, Ghana probably qualifying for the semi-final.
Oh, it would have been the last sequence of events. I mean, it was near certain had he not saved his hand.
Exactly. Huh. So I was very distraught when Asamoah Gyan, you know, missed that penalty. But hope came. We got another hope. They got to the penalties, and it was another disastrous penalty taken by Ghana. And the Uruguayans won it fair and square when it came to the penalties, penalty shootout.
How about Gyan's miss prior to the main spot kick?
That's the point I'm saying. I was distraught. I was angry. I was mad at him. Why would he miss such a penalty that needed the entire Africa to be happy at that time? You know, but it didn't work out. It didn't work out. I think it was a good try from Ghana in 2010 in South Africa.
So oftentimes players take decisions. They call it the professional foul and all of those things. I've seen Ernesto Valverde for Real Madrid. Awarded man of the match for bringing down Alvaro Morata in the Spanish Super Cup in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. And even Diego Simeone was praising him. Mm. But the feeling is concerning. I mean, my observation is that if you're not Uruguayan, Suarez was a villain. But he did what he could to save his country. And indeed was the catalyst for the ascension to the semifinals. Is Suarez a hero? Or is he a villain? Was that
for
Maradona
Uruguay,
is the hand of
for
God.
Uruguay? Yeah, he was a hero. I'm saying that because club football is entirely different because you have fans from all over the world supporting a particular team.
Right.
So it's different. It's really different. But this is the World Cup. Who is going to be happy for you except your country man or your country except you're supporting
South
you? So you're looking at that. And
or Liverpool
of
fans.
Of course, I would hate Luis Suarez for handling the ball with his hand, but that's one thing. Take one for the team, which is exactly what he did.
On the spot, sports diva.
Hero that was right. Hero for Uruguay. For the rest of the world, he was the villain.
For the rest of the world?
Yes.
But what about specifically for you, sports diva? How do you...
Villain!
Luis Suarez. Okay. Welcome. It's time to know. Yes. And where have we gone? We've gone back some 11 years ago to South Africa, World Cup in 2010. The whole of Africa were in high hopes as Ghana were on their way to
except
the World
Kalela.
Cup semi-final.
Except Kalela.
Oh, she doesn't support.
Never supports Cameroon and Ghana.
Okay.
So yeah, except her.
Okay, so Africa was finally supposed to make it to the finals. In fact, a setting goal, was it Dominic Adia got the header, was going straight into the net. And a certain Uruguayan just used his hand to save. What was destined for the back of the net. He was sent off, and Asamoah Gyan had the chance to take a penalty, and he beat Fernando Muslera and go for Uruguay, but he couldn't beat the bar. And when the shootout came, eventually those Uruguayans got the better of our friends in Ghana.
And he also reminded me of a fine man like that, you know, Diego Forlán.
Reminded me of a very fine man. I told you she wants Ronaldo to score and take off his shirt. So, but the question is, we're in the tunnel now of taking a trip back to 2010. Couple of questions for you. First of all, where were you when this game was taking place? Were you seeing it? What were your feelings as Ghana was about to make it to the World Cup semi-finals for the whole of Africa and the black world? What's your feeling about Luis Suarez? Some say he's a villain. Others argue, well, he took one for the team. He paid the ultimate prize in football, which is a red card. It's not his fault that Gyan missed. So how do you gauge Suarez's actions? Is he a hero for handling the ball or is he a villain? Let's hear from you. Don't forget to tell us where you were seeing the game and what your emotions were at that point in time. Quickly, just to remind you of the numbers once again, 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, 0817-923-0009. WhatsApp messages on 0809-030-6416. Was it the hand of God? Was it the hand of the devil? Yeah, welcome. Nice to have you join us. We're in 2010.
Hello, good evening.
Welcome. Good evening to you too.
This is Akin.
Welcome. Make it quick.
I watched my fight.
You what?
Yes, I watched it.
Oh, you watched it. Okay. So what were your feelings about the time, around the time this incident took place?
Yeah, what did that time was too bad, you know. I was not very angry.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I get that you're angry, but please do well to get back to us so that we don't waste your thoughts because we couldn't quite hear you. Welcome.
I bring you greetings again, my brother.
Greetings. Welcome, Cristiano.
Ah, Kosti. I was in Port Harcourt too.
Okay.
You have to be good now.
Okay.
Kosti, do you know that if it's today, Asamoah Gyan would have taken that penalty?
Okay.
Now he came out of the line.
No, not out of the line. Suarez did not hit the pitch. Remember, Suarez was the penal when he missed, celebrated from the toilet while on the inside.
Suarez did not leave the pitch.
He
stood by the line. I thought he was at the tunnel, but go ahead.
Well, you watched it.
I know.
He was still at the field. He watched the penal. Immediately, Asamoah Gyan missed the penal. He celebrated and ran inside.
Okay.
Secondly, you called him a villain.
I'm asking. I didn't call him. I'm asking. It's a question. Where does he stand in your own eyes? Okay.
That ball was almost inside the post. He did not commit the penalty in the 18-yard box. It was. He shot. As a matter of fact, I still believe that he brought the ball outside the net.
So where is this going? He should have been sentenced to life imprisonment.
No, you understand.
Okay.
For how I feel that day, nothing. Yeah. I felt nothing. Oh. It's Ghana. If it's any other country, I would have somehow. It's Ghana. He missed it. Even though I wanted them to win, but
all right.
There was no hard feelings at all.
Thank you.
And you remember that the guy that missed the last leg for the guy was Mensah. He was playing for Sunderland then.
Mensah.
All
right. Okay. You recall. Your memory is strong. Thank you. Greetings to you too. Welcome. It's time to tunnel on extra time. We're in 2010 today.
Europe, it's on Job.
Okay, Europe, welcome.
Yeah, the one thing I will never forget about that match is how the goalkeepers treated the bar. As if that was the
goal. Fernando Muslera,
The goalkeeper holds the bar, thanking the bar very much.
You're remembering really well.
The bar. Suarez was within the tunnel celebrating.
Yeah.
That match was one of the worst matches I've ever watched. Oh. Thank you.
Okay. You see, blood is thicker than boundaries. Worst match, Nigeria-Ghana. Welcome.
Hola, good evening.
Good evening to you too. Welcome.
The sports diva, greet you.
I greet you too. Welcome.
This is Oliver calling from Ogbuchi.
All right, Oli, welcome.
Mr. Guzzi, I want to say that I was still in jail too then.
Ah, okay.
Where I was watching the match with my family at the Ogbuchi family house.
Okay.
That I was, my uncle didn't allow us to go outside. So, my cousin brothers, all of us were watching the match together.
Okay.
I was preparing plantain for uncle at the kitchen when I heard the loud noise from my cousin brother.
Okay.
But Gyan has missed the goal. I ran out. I wanted to celebrate, but when I look at the mood of Suarez, I became very angry. Because that guy, I remember what he did before then at the Liverpool when they buy someone. So to me, I was happy. I'm telling you, And that was one of the things that made me not to love from that day to today.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I was not happy. You want me a lot.
But if you were from Uruguay, wouldn't you have done the same thing? I mean,
sorry, is it?
But you would have, you would do the same thing for your country, wouldn't you?
yes, I know I have done the same thing, but you know, Ghana was the only African country left. And we all supporting Ghana.
It was Ghana against the world and Africa.
Because he didn't go to that handball. That ball went inside.
Oh, yes. It was destined for that, the setting goal.
I will describe it that way because now they have not. I'm not really advocating my love for you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. All right, Sports Diva. Did Suarez put the game to bring the game to disrepute?
If he did, what did Maradona do with his hand that won him a World Cup?
Okay, let's keep going. Welcome, nice to have you join us. Please kindly get back. Well, oh, I'm so sorry. Welcome, nice to have you join us.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening too. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you join us.
I'm online with Nigerian.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
oh, yes,
you are.
Yes, welcome.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Sam.
Welcome.
Good evening.
Welcome to.
Thank you. I'm Godspower. I'm actually calling from Oyibo.
All right, Godspower, make it quick.
Okay. I actually watched that match.
Okay.
The memory is fresh. I was so disappointed. Because some minutes or some seconds.
To the end.
The
first team
to reach the World Cup final.
Okay. Such is life. Such is life.
Take it in good faith, huh?
In good faith. They come in the water for Samoa again. Alright, let's hit WhatsApp now. This one says, the memory hurts. I was in my first year in medical school. I remember I swore and hated Suarez so much. I was more angry with Suarez than with Gian for that penalty miss. Okay, Mr. Zion says, for me, okay, that's a different conversation. Good evening, Sports Gang. All right, another different one. Okay, the penalty miss, that miss shifted my heart. My late dad cost the living daylight when he missed the penalty. Biola from Iwofe. Suarez was and is still a villain. That's a euphemism for what he truly said. Thank you. Hi, Sports Guys. I remember the game as if it were yesterday. Suarez actually saved the team. Remember when he was sent away, he did not leave the tunnel until he saw Gian miss the penalty and he ended up celebrating it. Jerry is your name. Thanks, Jerry. Good evening, guys. Fega from Taraba. I was in Kaduna during that time. You guys are doing a good job. I love you all, okay? We love you too. I was shocked with surprise. I was watching it live. Panjay is your name. I was in Port Harcourt when the game took place. I was really heartbroken to see Gian miss the penalty. I think FIFA should make a rule that where such an incident happens, it should be counted as a goal and players who indulge in such acts be banned for 5 matches. Made to pay a fine to Daniel from Azorba. Good evening. I don't think I have ever insulted anyone in this life the way I insulted a Samoa Gian for that miss. Stephen from PH. Okay. Welcome. Nice to have you join us. You're on to extra time.
Good evening, Nigeria.
Yes, it is Nigeria. Well, you're welcome.
This is Byron as well.
Nice to have you join us.
About 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
When that. That time I really hate Suarez.
Okay.
It was until he moved to Liverpool because I'm a Liverpool fan.
Oh.
He was going to start having a feeling for him and I forgot about it.
Okay.
And I know him as a football fan.
Okay.
You know, today, sometimes if I won the last game, anytime you change on the passport, I would feel very bad. But even on that team, I think I have closed that space on that competition by you.
Okay.
So it's something that. I'm not sure if in South Africa,
Luis Suarez. All right. So, okay, he says he joined Liverpool and his sins were forgiven. Welcome. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Am I on for Nigerian?
Yes, truly you are. Welcome.
Yes, this is Emmanuel from Liverpool.
Welcome, Emmanuel.
Yes. I think that's because I was too angry on Asamoah Gyan.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, please kindly get back to us. We could barely hear what you were trying to say to us. Welcome. You're on to Extra Time.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening, Kazi from Oweri.
Welcome.
Oh, Pius, I suppose.
I know that you understand me.
Yeah.
Please, don't be offended. I wanted to ask a different question for what we are talking about.
Should we?
Let's
should
indulge.
We?
Right, let's indulge.
Let's hear you, Pius.
Please, I wanted to know whether Toredo has come back fully for Man United.
Because I have been
praying for this since last year.
Yes, Pius, he is back. He's in flesh and blood. He is a Manchester United player once again.
That is what you're trying to tell me is that after this week, next week,
yes,
Ronaldo is going to be featured in my United.
Oh, yes. If Solskjaer wants to. Yeah.
I want to thank all of you. I'm very happy. I can be able to sleep well.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Good night, Pius.
I'm a maker.
Okay.
Dear.
Good.
Dear.
Yeah. Okay. Well, nice to have you join us.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening to you too.
Okay, I'm Sonny Simon, calling from Wape.
Welcome, Sonny. We're happy to have you.
You people made me remember as in the bad 2010 World Cup.
Yes, that's the intention.
I was one of the happiest men in that match.
Okay.
Because of what this guy did.
Suarez. Oh, you were anti-Ghana in 2010.
I support Uruguay because of Thiago Fula. Because the man was too good. God.
Talk about betrayal.
If it happened that it's me, I will still do the same thing. I will use my hand and catch the ball.
Please, pack your load.
See, Pan-Africanism means nothing to you.
Pack your load and go to Uruguay now, this night.
This guy. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome. Nice to have you join us. Welcome. Welcome.
Greetings to you.
Greetings to you too. Welcome.
That memory, the only thing I remember, which is I'm so happy about, was Diego Fulham.
Oh, okay.
Diego Fulham was the man of everything. He was something else that season. That man was extraordinary. I've never seen a player like that who play everything, plays that for his country and his club. That man, he was playing at Atletico Madrid. That guy was good. And for what Suarez did to Ghana, it's something even up to today. If Suarez finds himself in Ghana, I swear they will kill Suarez. Oh. They will never forgive him.
Okay. No. So football without violence and murder.
And for that particular year, that game where they remove Ghana was praying, a native doctor in Ghana was saying that he's going to reach Ronaldo, so that Ronaldo will not be able to score against Ghana. At that game, Ronaldo has injury. So I remember that guy was watching at the room all the year by T. Joshua.
All right, Eto. Thank you.
That is it, my brother. Thank you.
Yeah. Sports Diva, just have a look at this screen. If we have any hopes of doing a bit of justice to WhatsApp messages, we best start now.
Yes, no, you no, should. We, you should start should. Now. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Good evening, Sports Diva. Good evening, Sports Diva and Kosi. I think you want to give us a Chelsea jersey and a bottle of soft drink. Something to celebrate. He said he dived them into the finals. He said, Tammy. Yes, we did say Tammy. Tammy, thanks. Good evening, Kosi and Dockers. I was in Joburg, South Africa, 2010, when the World Cup was played. When Gian missed the penalty against Uruguay, most Nigerians in Joburg were very happy because the Ghanaians were making so much noise that they are the first African country to get to the semifinals of the World Cup. And there was one Ghanaian analyst who was making so much noise on South African television that Ghana would be the first African country. That Ghana is the first African country to gain independence, and that Ghana will be the first African country to win the World Cup. They were even referring to our national team as Chicken Eagles. When Asamoah Gyan missed that penalty, we Nigerians gave a thumbs up. to Suarez. CC from away. Thanks very much, CC. It's very great to hear your experiences and memories from the time. I think this one says I was at PH at the time on the issue of a Samoa missing the penalty that would have taken the Black Stars of Ghana to the quarterfinals, to the semifinals, you mean, of the World Cup. I felt so bad. In fact, it was one of my worst moments watching football. Niakan is your name. Good evening, Extra Time. I'm Lorenzo Delight from HA. Contending the game in 2010, I was at my village with my brothers. I was very angry today. In fact, the game increased my hatred for Suarez. I really pitied Gian when he missed that penalty because of the pressure. Sports gang, that penalty missed by Gian gave me two feelings. I was happy because God save Nigeria football fans from the mockery of the Ghanaian people. Ghanaian fans would brag that they are better than us. I was sad because I wanted an African team to go to the final. Dan, you're sounding a little bit confused from VH. That's a joke, Dan. I get your feelings. You were having a conflict of emotions. Yeah, mixed feelings. I get you completely. You guys are doing a great work. Watching you live from Ileife, Osun State. How are we streaming?
Without
my hair combed.
And without me looking, you know.
No makeup and all. I didn't watch that particular game because I was in school, GSS2, but I had about the whole drama when I got back home. I was mad at first, which made me hate Suarez for a while because he came one of my favorite strikers later. Ghana at the time attacked the hopes of Africa. They were the only African team left, but I'd call Suarez a hero simply because it paid off eventually. 2010 World Cup, tagged once in a lifetime. Memorable year. Memories from that game. So heartbreaking. I was just out of secondary school. Aww. The match pained me, eh? Emeka is your name. Thanks. Good evening, sports gang. I fell in love with Suarez after that game because he took one for the team. I'm Ray from LMA. Thanks, Ray. That game made me love Suarez so much. He was a hero. And the only villain in that game was Gian, who had the chance but missed. Shameful. Chibuzo. All right, good evening, guys. I watched the game in a way. I couldn't sleep that night. It was very painful. Manny from Abba. Thanks, Manny. Strange you didn't ask about Dockers this time. Greetings, sports gang. I thought Luis Suarez... I'm not sure I can say that. I knew I knew the... Kinsley. Hey, Kinsley says Suarez should have been jailed. I was sharing an apartment with my brother then.
King Solomon.
Good to know you're that's now King living Solomon. On your own.
King Solomon from the Bible.
Okay.
Was one who sent that one.
Okay. Good evening. I was angry because I wanted Ghana to get into the semis to further humble big-mouthed Nigeria. They still have achieved more than the Super Chickens. Frank should be a Ghanaian,
He must be a Ghanaian.
Having got into the quarterfinals. Frank, do I tell them your address? with all of this you're saying. Okay, last one. The only thing, it's not even for us. We're done with our fans, aren't we? Welcome. Nice to have you join us.
Good evening.
Good evening to you too.
Kazi calling from Awele.
Oh,
the match wasn't dope. The match between Europe and Ghana. It was Africa as the Europe got. So that thing was done to Africa as a whole.
Yeah.
I cried, I wept.
Oh.
I asked myself, this is Africa, we are come. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Kazi. I thought you called before, but it was Paris. Welcome.
Good evening.
Nice to have you join us.
This is Liverpool transfer.
Welcome.
I will not forget that one. You know the reason. Then the guy of that penalty.
Okay.
Let's attack life. My brother, we want to attack
him. Oh.
I will not forget the life. That is. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
You made me remember when we were watching Super Story those days.
And Nepa.
Nepa with the class.
They wanted to save you from watching the Miss. Welcome. As we're bringing up, packing our bags to leave the studio, you're welcome.
Okay. My name is Tony.
Tony, welcome, Tony.
Yeah, I think that's Fiona was in year one.
Yeah, just starting life.
That walk up very well. It was a once in a lifetime experience.
Oh, once in a lifetime experience.
Okay. Yeah, you can compare that walk up, that South Africa walk up and the return walk up. You know that you see the flare,
Vuvuzela, those noisy, very noisy Vuvuzelas.
Yeah,
and the Jabulani ball that was flying.
Yeah,
around
Jabulani
the
ball. Kite. Fantastic, Diego Fuma and
somebody gave in Madrid. Yeah, James. James okay. has a good excellence of that ball.
All right.
Well, for that match, but the team stayed me, I couldn't do it that night.
Okay, okay.
Up to this, I cannot forget that memory because I wanted Ghana. Because it wasn't just about Ghana, it was about the pride of Africa. Let's just go.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And that's our last caller on the show for today. Dunkers, close your eyes. Let's come back to 2021.
Okay. I was already there before you. So,
before we leave, because we're out of time, let's talk about, let's end with the amount of courage required to step up once more to kick for your country. Must have taken the strength of a lion for Asamoah Gyan to say, okay, I'm going to step up. I'm going to kick again in the shootout. And he did step up. He kicked and he scored. Everyone can miss. Messi has missed. Ronaldo missed yesterday before he got to. It could have been a World Cup quarterfinals. I mean, yeah, everybody can miss. But in the same game, you know, he showed that he is well and truly a man with a tremendous amount of courage.
He wanted to redeem himself. He knew that the entire, country of Ghana and probably the entire African nations were, depending on him to score that particular penalty. So he wanted to redeem himself. He forgot it. He forgot whatever emotion he had. Forgot about the pressure that he had when he took the first penalty. And this time, it meant a lot for Africa as a whole. At least what he felt, and he felt okay. It was left for me to go redeem myself, and that was what he did when he, picked up the ball. Went for the penalty shootout, scored that particular one. You could see how relieved he was. You could see how he generally was. So yes, he wanted to redeem himself so bad that he would have done anything to get Ghana back into the match, which he did obviously at that time.
Okay. All right, that's as far as we can travel on the show today. But before we leave, we have to say thank you very much to each and every one of you who took time to listen to us from the start to now that we've come to an end. Yes, Extra Time will return tomorrow, same time, 7 p.m. Before then, there will be Sports Drive in the morning, 7 a.m., where you get the latest development, of course, at the time in the world of sports. Silver or gold, no, it's copyrighted.
We have by Ekun, none, but our best will give in
see,
to you.
Ekun will sue you. That's his. It's his.
Plagiarism.
Yeah, it is his copyright. So copyright. So we have a friend from Ileife who wants us to go back to some months ago when we were covering the Euros. We will do that. We're about to leave you with some of those moments still from that game back in 2010. After that, so you listen to Martin Garrix, and then it will be time for Let's Talk with Sam Oracle Chinedu. Yes, stay tuned to enjoy that as well, and have yourselves a lovely evening.